My fellow servants, what does an anointing signify? What does it really mean? I think it means that a person has been set apart for a mission. Famous examples in the Old Testament are the anointing of Aaron by Moses so that he would be high priest, the anointing of the shepherd David by the prophet Samuel, so that David would eventually become the king of Israel. Perhaps modern equivalents like the inauguration of a president or the swearing-in of a military officer or a judge. The greatest example of all is, of course, the one we heard about in today's gospel, Jesus, anointed as the Messiah, which is the Hebrew word for anointed, in his remarkable appearance in the synagogue of Nazareth. Just imagine that you were there and hearing him say these words. He declared that he would fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah about the servant of God who would bring glad tidings to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, give recovery of sight to the blind, let the oppressed go free, and proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. And as we read in the Gospels, the Lord, his human nature empowered by the Holy Spirit, went about doing those very things. And yet, as the book of Revelation, our second reading, tells us, Jesus' greatest work is that he has freed us from our sins by his blood, and being the firstborn of the dead, he will, at his coming in glory, raise us from the dead to share his heavenly life. And all of this, Jesus was anointed to do out of a relentless love for us sinners, reflecting the love of the Father for us. Now, all Christians, all of you who are members of the lay faithful, or any religious who are here, all Christians have been anointed to share in Christ's saving mission. They were anointed with the oil of catechumens before their baptism and with the oil of chrism at their confirmation. They are not passive observers in the drama of salvation, but are meant to be active participants in it, not only for their own benefit, but to share the benefits of Christian faith with others. And we who are priests and pastoral ministers in other ways must not tire of reminding the lay faithful that they have been set apart from the rest of humanity for this mission, the mission to bring others to the Lord Jesus, because we have such good news to share with people. A victory over sin and death awaits us through faith in Jesus Christ. So we must encourage our lay faithful to engage in this great enterprise of sharing their faith with others and to do it with confidence in the Lord. Now, we priests have also been anointed and set apart by our ordination for a ministry which goes beyond what the lay faithful, can do. Our hands were anointed with oil because they would consecrate the sacred species that would nourish God's children, absolve them from sin, and bring them healing in their illnesses. My head was anointed with oil when I was ordained a bishop, so that I might shepherd God's people rightly, a ministry in which you, my brothers, share. Isaiah truly prophesied about us when he said, "You yourselves shall be named priests of the Lord, ministers of our God shall ye be called." Our priestly vocation is an exalted and most necessary one. We should never let any scandal, difficulty, or setback diminish our esteem for the holy vocation to which we have been called. The sacrament of holy orders is the only one primarily directed to the good of others. We are definitely more closely associated with the Lord as we share in his saving work, but that work is for the good of our people. We have been anointed to lift up the spirits of our people, to give them hope, to help them respond to the Lord's offer of a living communion with Him, to strengthen them by the words of Scripture and the grace of the sacraments, to free them from the sins that hold them captive, to open their eyes to the beauty and goodness of the Lord, to encourage them in works of justice, peace, and love, and to assist them when near death to prepare to meet the Lord. As I travel around this great state of West Virginia and meet our people, I've come more and more to realize that they do need priests for these very things, and they want us. I urge you, my brothers, to have the firm conviction that the Anointed One, our Savior, has anointed you to engage wholeheartedly in His saving mission, and that He will never abandon you as you strive to fulfill it. Years ago, as a seminarian, I was on a retreat led by Father Francis Martin, a biblical scholar, and he made the point on that retreat that we can settle for being simply dutiful priests, showing up for Mass and confessions, going to parish meetings, and out to dinner with our friends. Nothing wrong with any of those things. I've done them all, and I hope you have been able to as well, right? But as Father Martin asked, is that all the Lord wants from us? Has He not called us to serve Him and His people zealously, to go beyond the regular and ordinary acts of ministry, to take the bold and truly necessary steps that a person or a family or a whole parish may need? My first pastor got wind of two couples that were engaged in, if you remember, swinging marriages, exchange couples and all that, really kind of gross, you know. But he went to both of them, one eventually divorced. The other couple, my first pastor saved their marriage. Blessed Stanley Rother, the Oklahoma farm boy, became a missionary in Guatemala, learned the difficult indigenous language of his flock. He had trouble with Latin in the seminary, but he learned both Spanish and the language of these descendants of the Mayan Indians. And he stood by them against right-wing vigilantes, paying for it eventually with his life. St. John Vianney patiently got to know his whole parish in the little town of Ahr, and he brought a dead parish back to a far more robust Christian life than it had ever enjoyed. These priests were not merely dutiful. They took their anointing as the Lord's servants seriously, and they bore fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold. In just a moment, I shall ask you to renew the promises you pronounced at your priestly ordination. Renew them with full confidence in the Lord's love for you and in His promise of unfailing assistance. Be convinced that He has truly called you and anointed you in the midst of your brothers and sisters to serve them with love and fidelity. I promise my best efforts to support you responding to His call. And may the Lord show His mercy to every one of us.